Hi, and welcome to the study of God's Word from the pulpit of First Baptist Church, Winton, California.
This is our guest speaker, Pastor John Boykin.
Thank you, son. Howdy. What an incredible introduction. Where did he live? That chicken. Dear, dear, what time is it? Are you ready? You don't know what you're saying. Okay. Oh. Had a scripture to read. Was I introduced? Nobody introduced me, did they? Who did? And he ran off. It's always so encouraging when the leader of the group gets up and leaves. I'm not going to ask how many of the rest of you would like to leave. I might find out. Oh, shut up. Let's open our Bibles, please. You bring your Bible. I'm going to be using that today, preaching from it. Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. Verse 20. Acts, that's in the New Testament. You, some of you are scratching around. Page 1387, if you still can't find it. Paul is talking, says, "And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." The whole calling of this man was to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Such four words. The gospel. What's the gospel? That's it. That's the good news, isn't it? That's what the word gospel means. Good news. It is the good news that God has for us. It's the good news that He's coming Himself to live among us, to die on the cross, to rise from the dead, to return to glory, and to await our coming. That's pretty dull, isn't it? Hello? Well, wake up. I'm talking to you. I've already started. Come on. And the subject of this is the gospel of the grace of God. The grace of God. That's what it's all about. Grace. The greatest word in this New Testament is the word grace. Charis. Charis is the word in Greek for grace. Grace is the attitude of God. Aha. But it's more than the attitude of God. Are you listening? Grace is the action of God. That's what grace is. It's the activity of God. As he looks into the needs of mankind. And grace is his coming to supply them all. You do not have a single need, but that God has the supply for it. That put you to sleep, didn't it? God's grace and his mission was to testify, to bear testimony of the grace, the action of God as he unloads all of his life and blessings into our life to bless us. That's what grace is. It's the action of God. It's not the attitude of God. It's the action of God as he goes about bestowing all of his riches into your life. You don't like that, do you? Come on, nobody here but us. Wake up. Well, you still didn't. Okay, you're not used to me, are you? You don't act like you want to get used to me. I've received to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Grace is the action of God as he goes about unloading all of his pent-up plans into our hearts. It's an action. It's not a hope. It's a performance. God is in the business today of unloading a supply of grace into your life to make it richer and better. You don't like that. That's what God's doing. And he won't force it on you. You need to open your heart and just let him do it. Grace. So what is grace? It's God freely, according to his own nature, and acting rightly according to his own nature. Grace is God fully and finally in action. Grace is an active word. It's not just a concept. It's not just a noun. It's an action. The grace of God. I want to say too that grace is uncaused. You cannot cause God to be gracious. Are you listening? Come on. You cannot cause God to be gracious. God is gracious. That's just the fact. Whether you know it, believe it, or not, God is gracious. And that grace is uncaused by the believer. You cannot cause God to be gracious. There's nothing you can do to cause God to be gracious. He already is gracious. Are you listening? Well, catch up. He already is gracious, and he's actively gracious. So grace is uncaused by us. We do not cause it. He already is. We just live in the glorious sunshine of the fact that God is gracious. Don't lose that fact. And it's uncaused in the recipient. The cause lies wholly in God himself. the person of God. Grace is sovereign. It has no debts to pay. It has no unclaimed promises to keep. It's sovereign. It's total. It comes from His throne, and it is rich and full as His throne is. It doesn't have anything it has to complete or fulfill. Grace. It doesn't have to fulfill any unnamed or undecided or unspecified ideas. Grace is sovereign. No debts to pay. No fulfilled conditions on the part of the receiver. It can and does act toward whomever it wishes. Please understand that what I'm trying to say is you cannot get God to be gracious. Pray as you will. Plead as you will. Plead for His grace as long as you will. But please stop right now long enough to remember that God is already gracious. You don't have to beg Him to be gracious. You can assume that He is because He incessantly declares it. The grace of God. You cannot explain it. You cannot understand it. But let me give you a little good news. You can experience it. You can come to know His grace, to live under the shelter of His precious grace. With all of its fulfilled conditions, with everything that there is to it, God is gracious. That means that He can't. Are you listening? He can't act if you deserve it. God doesn't act because you deserve it. Do you? Anybody in this room that deserves God's grace? If you deserve it, it wouldn't be grace. Are you listening? You cannot deserve grace. It's the nature of God Himself to be gracious. And there's no way that man can deserve it. I don't see anybody in this room that's not a sinner. I'm sorry. I didn't look too carefully. I may assume some things. But it seems to me that all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Didn't His word say that? So I'm safe in quoting that. That all have sinned. And assuming, therefore, that no one in this room today misses that. We're sinners. And so the only way that we can be helped is to come under His grace. Not under what we deserve. Not under His righteous wrath. Can't handle that. But His grace. That's what He offers to us. Grace can't act where you deserve something. Hello? If you deserve it, it's not grace. It's just a payment. It's a reward. This is purely unearned and purely undeserved, and it comes freely and only from God. I'm talking about grace. Charis. For by grace are you saved. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His work. Are you listening? We are His workmanship. Created. That takes a creator. Created in Christ Jesus. For the purpose of good works. which he himself started and accomplishes in us and through us. You don't start any of this yourself. All of this was started by him. So there's not anything that we can do to cause God to be gracious. That's kind of tough, isn't it? We keep on wishing and hoping and trying to do things to make him gracious to us. Stupid. He's already gracious. Just accept it and live under the glorious truth of that. Now don't forget that you have to receive that grace. It's all there. Jesus has already died, hasn't he? Did he rise? Is he going to come back? Where along the line did he dump his grace? He still has it, doesn't he? And if he's in your heart, you're experiencing the grace of God right now. And so God is not gracious just because you need it or deserve it. Bottom line, God is gracious because God is gracious. Rely on it. Depend on it. He never fails. So we need to stop trying to get God to be gracious. So many of us spend our time trying to make deals with God. Lord, if you do that, I'll do this. None of you do that? Got a yard full of liars here. God is gracious all the time because God is great. That's the nature of God. You don't have to pray that he be gracious. He already is. What we can do is rely on that and live in it and work accordingly. Bottom line here that I want to say is that grace produces humility in us. You listening? That's the attitude of the one who's under the grace of God. You know you don't deserve it, right? I'm not reaching you somehow. We don't deserve his grace. He is gracious not because we deserve it, but because he is gracious. And he knows that we cannot survive without his grace. How then can we ever get it? It's tough, isn't it? Receive it. Receive it. It's there. Accept it. Let it fill your life, your mind, your attitudes. God is gracious, and he's ready to supply all of the needs that you have because of his grace. We go around and keep on asking him for this and that and the other. He's already provided it. Just receive it in faith and begin to act like you have it because you do. You know, there is a requirement. You thought I'd get to that, didn't you? Somebody paid the price for that. I didn't. You've tried but haven't made it. Who paid the price for that? Jesus. Who? Jesus. You're afraid to say it. Jesus is the one that paid the price for that. We are lost because of our sins. Who paid the price for sin? Jesus did. Who went to the cross? Jesus did. Who rose from the dead? Jesus did. Who went back to the Father? Jesus did. You didn't. I didn't. He did because of His grace. All we can do is accept Him. Hello? Accept Him. And when we receive Him, He bestows His precious grace upon us. How you like that? Well, why don't you do it? It's simple. It's simple. Stop trying to do it yourself. Stop trying to make it by being good and doing things that you know God wants you to do. Excuse this English, but you ain't never going to make that. All you can do is accept what He offers. What does He offer? Forgiveness of sins. You like that? Redemption from the consequences of sin. You like that? The promise of eternity with Him through Jesus Christ. You like that? All of these things God affirms are a part of His incredible grace, and we deserve none of it. Therefore, all we can do is take it or leave it. Can't work for it, you can't earn it, you can't deserve it, but you can have it. That's the invitation today. It comes through faith in Jesus Christ, through the ability and work of Jesus Christ, who died for us, who rose from the dead, who went back to glory, and who's ready right now. And some of you may be feeling the tug of His life upon your heart now to give your life to Him. You need Him. You're not going to make it into His presence without His grace. And you don't have it. You want it? He offers it to you today. It's amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Not for anything I did, but what God did for me. All we can do is place ourselves in His hands. Give Him our lives. Hello? Give Him our lives. That's everything we have and are. Ask Him to take it and use it for His glory. We need to stop trying to give God a reason to be gracious to us. I don't know if I made that clear or not. We need to stop trying to give God a reason to be gracious to us. We spend our lives trying to satisfy Him. You can't satisfy Him. Only Jesus can do that. And when you receive Him, you've got all you need. He doesn't just save part of you. He saves all of you. Every bit of you. Time, talents, money, everything. He saves it all for His glory and for Himself. Thus, He can bring to you peace. You want peace? Trust Him. Give your life to Him. Depend on Him. And grace will bring to you such a recognition of your own inability and failure that you'll not try to hold on to anything you have or are and give it all to Him. That's what He wants. That's what He must have. And that's what you need. So I call on you today, simply, prayerfully, to get outside of yourself and let Jesus handle this awesome task, which is beyond any of us. Redemption. The implantation of His grace into your life. And He's ready now to do it. How can you get it? Accept it. My God shall supply all of your needs according to the riches of His. Riches of His what? You don't know the passage? According to the riches of His grace in Christ Jesus. So when you receive Christ, all the blessings of His grace are available to you. That's worth giving up everything else for, isn't it? I'm going to urge you today, if you've never received Christ as your Savior, do it today. Don't wait any longer. The only thing that's certain out there is death. And Jesus might come back before then. Then you're all out. You need to take care of this today. How do you do that? Receive Him. Receive Jesus into your heart as your Master, your Lord, your Savior. Do it today. That means you turn over your whole life to Him. Your will is His. All that you have and are is His. It belongs to Him to use for His glory, not for yours. And you'll find blessings that you never dreamed of were there. I dare you to do it. I double dare you to do it. Okay, I double dog dare you to do it. Turn it all over to Him and you'll find a peace that you never knew possible before. The grace of God flooding your life, filling your heart, filling your future, and give you incredible peace. We're going to sing an invitation hymn. As we sing it, I invite you to come and receive Christ as your personal Savior if you haven't. Make whatever decision God is pressing upon you today that you need to make. Maybe unite with this church on promise of letter or by statement, however the church receives membership. But come and make the decision that God is pressing upon your heart today and let Him begin to bless you. May we stand together as we sing an invitation hymn.
Be the center.
The Bible says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. If you've never trusted in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, we invite you to call on Him now and through a simple prayer of faith, give your life to Him. If you're not attending a church that honors the Bible as the Word of God, we encourage you to locate and begin attending such a church in the area where you live. The message you have just heard was preached from the pulpit of First Baptist Church, Winton, California. For more information on the ministry of First Baptist Church, Winton, please visit our website at wintonchurch.org.